Welcome back to Beers and Banter with Mike and Colin, the podcast where two longtime friends get together to talk nonsense about the stuff they love and enjoy a couple adult beverages. Last week we were talking Ragnarok, and we're still doing that this week. Now, a couple bits of housekeeping before we get started. Firstly, this is a deep dive, so consider that your spoiler warning. And second, presumably this is an adult show. There's going to be adult language fueled by adult beverages, so earmuffs for all the little Padawans out there. One other thing that we actually only really kind of touched on is this film is cohesive in a lot of ways, but also very aesthetically cohesive in a very satisfying way. I am sure the set designers and the costume designers, I don't know if these things are all like, because I don't know lots about how to produce and make a movie, but I feel like there's a lot of overlap and conversations between how they want this movie to look and feel.
It had to be, yeah.
There had to be. Like, right down to Thor's costuming and...
Well, there's, like, over 2,500 different costumes they made.
In this movie.
And you can tell because all the costumes are bright and outlandish. And yeah. Like, you look at all the background characters.
Even the Junkers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, a specific amount of work. A lot went into it. Yeah.
Yep.
This movie, if that was the work I was doing, like I have a friend who does, television makeup. This kind of thing would almost be a dream project.
Right.
It's almost like just go nuts, carte blanche, whatever you want to come up with. Like we're just going to throw it at the wall and see what sticks.
Yep.
I know there are, I don't want to go so far as saying they do it with an iron fist, but I know Marvel movies, it's kind of jarring in terms of the movie making for a lot of people because you're on a weird kind of schedule. You have to achieve certain objectives. They think about this movie with six other movies in mind, and that's a weird movie making experience.
That's a weird thing. You're not just making one movie.
So it's something to be said for the Marvel movie that they make that it only has to tick enough of the boxes, right? Like it can really be anything that you want it to be, right? I don't know. It really shows up in the final product, especially in Sicar.
Especially in Sicar. Yeah, exactly. And I mean... Again, that was very deliberately done from the outset, like to look like the Jack Kirby comics.
Yeah.
Very bright rainbow colors, the angles. And then also, we touched on it, the 80s movies and stuff. But they went above and beyond. They spent a ton of money on the sets and the costumes.
Because the first Thor, when I first saw it, I actually was not expecting a lot from.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, it's not a character or a property that I've ever had a really deep emotional connection with.
No.
But I was blown away by how good it looked.
Yes.
And, the first Thor.
Yeah.
And this movie really just took this to the next level.
To the 10th level.
The 10th level. Like, I almost feel like no idea was taboo. Because you're literally on another planet, you know, in the middle of space.
Freedom.
You have complete freedom.
Yep.
If you're coming up with it, it might be like Lucas when he first...
Mm-hmm.
Imagined the Star Wars universe.
It's right.
Like, well, it can be whatever I want it to be because it can be anything.
Yep.
And that's got to be incredibly liberating for somebody who's a creative.
For sure.
To be like, whatever you come up with, it can be as bright and orange and neon green.
Well, and lean into that. Like, that's what we want. We want it to look that way. Because they could have easily made Sicar look very drab and like... It's garbage. It could have been like dusty and like, but no, they made it very warm,
especially
very bright.
It's literally a garbage planet.
That's right. And they made it warm and bright.
I mean, it is a world of two worlds, and we touched on that earlier.
Yeah.
But because not just in the MCU, but movies, period.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen another science fiction movie even that looks like this?
No, not to this degree.
No.
That's what I mean. Like, they set out to do it, and I feel like they did it the best.
Yeah.
Like,
it gives the movie a real distinct personality.
Yeah.
That I've never seen before. It's rather unique.
Yeah. Yeah, like the spaceships are all bright colors, like purple and orange and yellow, and like they didn't need to be. Most science fiction, the spaceships are all gray.
Yeah.
Like, even in Star Wars, they're all silver and gray and like.
But if you're going to have a pleasure ship that you have orgies on, it needs to be super bright and yellow.
Yellow and red.
And shoot fireworks.
And shoot fireworks and have a PA system that tells everyone it's your birthday.
Yeah. I'm like, now, if I was, you know, the ostensibly quote-unquote benevolent ruler of a world and I needed an orgy ship, that would be my ship.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, you know what's happening on this ship.
Yeah. Don't touch anything.
Yeah, don't touch anything. I might equip mine with blasters, though.
Right.
You never know when you're going to need them.
Well, I guess.
Or when you need to travel through the devil's anus. That happens sometimes.
This happens, well, once.
Thankfully, only once. Once and never again.
Yep.
Yep.
And then also on top of that, I guess we kind of glazed over Hulk here, but not just his struggle or whatever, but they actually gave Hulk a little bit of intelligence. Like, he can talk now, which a lot of people had a beef with when it came out. They were like, why can Hulk suddenly talk? But in the comics, he can kind of string together thoughts and stuff. It actually makes sense.
He has some complex emotions.
Yeah.
He gets sad and frustrated and upset, and he doesn't want Thor to leave.
Yeah.
You know, these are not things... It comes on in inches, but he kind of has a narrative arc.
Yeah.
And of course, then they cut it, and it goes back to Banner.
Yeah.
Who immediately puts on a Duran Duran Rio shirt. Well, fit in perfectly with this.
That's Tony's clothes.
It is
Tony. Why'd you dress me like Tony?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that was another, not so much an Easter egg, but a knowing wink to what they were trying to achieve.
Yeah, of course.
That Rio shirt, right? And I'm like, that's perfect.
So one thing to talk about, too, is the Hulk. What's nice is they actually pulled from the comics, like the Hulk comics, for people that are Hulk fans. Because that's something I don't think they've done in the past at all. You know, other movies, very much so, there's something from the comics here, something from the comics here, like... Even, like, right down to artwork, they've reproduced visually.
The Planet Hulk storyline?
The Planet Hulk storyline. Yeah. So, obviously, the storyline is slightly different because it's not a Planet Hulk movie. But it's nice that they took from that, like, where Hulk ends up on a different planet. And he's more, you know, revered there. It's not like in Earth where he's running around from the army.
Which is a plot element for him, is that he's actually beloved here.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's
right.
Something we haven't talked about yet. Part of the reason why I think he's Banner for 2 years is, or not Banner, he's Hulk for 2 years is because he's in his element here.
People love the Hulk.
He's the Hulk side of him.
He's the Hulk Hogan of this world.
He really is. He's celebrated and beloved, Grandmaster's champion.
Yep.
You know, he even cheats on his behalf.
That's right. Yeah. Because he wants him to win.
Yeah. He's beloved here. So from a Hulk's point of view, why would you leave?
Yeah.
It's an excellent point.
Yep. And then the other thing is the gladiator outfit and stuff. Like, that's taken from the Planet Hulk storyline. Yeah. Like, so it's a nice nod to the comics for the Hulk, because I don't think that's been done very much. I think that he's, because they can't make a straight up Hulk movie anymore.
Yeah.
He's always cast as, like I said, they use him more of a tool. Like, oh, okay, he's going to fight these guys. And he's not really... Nothing from his background is really used much.
No,
so it's kind of nice.
But
they
this
did
is
that.
It's the opportunity for them to use the Hulk, and I'm sure you know this, but the story of this, Craig Kyle and Chris Yost. I don't think it was the final screenplay, but the story development, and they've been done a lot of the major Marvel properties. We actually talked about them when we did Logan, and I think. There are a couple guys that you bring in when you're like, well, you need somebody to understand the universe, do the research, do the homework, and develop that story.
Yeah.
Really, they gave the Hulk more to do, arguably, than in any of his standalone movies.
Yeah, that's fair.
He gets an arc.
Yeah.
That's a real struggle, not just for Banner.
No, but for Hulk, too.
But for Hulk, too.
Hulk, always Hulk.
Yeah, he's like, I got a hot tub here.
Yeah.
I got these badass beads.
Yeah.
The people love me.
Yeah.
Because he's beloved.
I get to fight because he likes to fight.
It makes sense for me for them to finally kind of give a little bit of narrative story, because the drive for the Hulk is always Banner's struggle with being the Hulk.
Yeah.
Is becoming the monster in order to do the right thing. Well, when that's inverted, when you're constantly the monster, because they actually needed Banner.
Yes.
In some ways too, because he's the physicist.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because in that one instance, all of a sudden, Thor seems to know a lot more about astrophysics and wormholes than you actually knew. That maybe Jane Foster ran off, like, rubbed off on him through osmosis,
maybe.
Because all of a sudden he knew a lot about, you know, about Einstein bridges.
To be fair, in the beginning of the movie, he said he's traveled the galaxy looking for the Infinity Stone. So maybe he's learned some stuff along the way.
That's true. He always kind of plays down his knowledge set.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's another, the beginning, even in the intro of this movie, it's all exposition.
Yeah.
It is. But it's been written so well and so comedically, It feels like just a throwaway scene to set up the movie, but it's actually the plot of the whole movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is Ragnarok. Like almost everything that both him and Searcher say in that scene, it means something.
That's right.
For the course of the movie.
That is the funny part. Like you said, it almost seems throwaway as a joke, the way they treat it.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, and it's like Thor's just buying time to try to find out where his crown is, right?
Yes.
Because he thinks it's just his big eyebrow. My crown.
But except for the jokes, the whole scene is all meaningful.
But it's all meaningful.
It even bridges what's been happening. You almost don't care about the in-between time for both Thor and the Hulk because they just show up here.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. But I feel like that those are not interesting stories, relatively. Yeah. So they're like, let's just drop these guys in the pressure cooker.
Yeah.
And see what happens. Because, honestly, if it was almost... I mean, they paired Tony and Cap.
Yeah.
In a different movie, and that's their movie.
Yep.
And you got the exact movie, Civil War, that you would have gotten from those two guys.
Yeah.
But when you have a movie that's Thor and Hulk, well, you'll get this movie.
You get this movie, which, yeah.
And it's an excellent fit for that reason. So I don't know who the call was to put Hulk in this movie, but it's a stroke genius, of genius.
Though. Yeah, exactly.
It's so much better for it.
It's true, because they could have made it without Hulk.
This easily could have been made without Hulk.
But not nearly as fun.
They probably could have ramped up, say, like the Asgard elements.
Yep.
Because Asgard almost plays a backseat
for that's the most true.
Part in this movie.
Yeah. Well, and on Sakaar, it didn't have to be Hulk. It could have just been a strong gladiator. It didn't have to be that at all. But
yeah. And I've seen criticisms of this movie that are like, oh, too much is coincidental and just too much falls into place. And I'm like, and I've never understood that line of criticism.
Yeah.
When it comes to movies don't get any more fantastic than this.
Yes. Well, okay.
And you're already suspending belief 11 out of 10.
Yeah.
Why would you not just that little more that there's the amazing coincidence that Hulk is already there?
That's right. And that's the other thing about this movie is it's supposed to be a harken back to those 80s movies where they were all like that.
Yeah.
Everything always worked out in like perfect sequential order for, you know, plot device reasons.
Yeah.
But it wasn't questioned back then because those were the popular movies. Again, this was supposed to be a change. It's supposed to be different from the other Marvel movies. So everything doesn't have to be specifically explained.
Well, the other thing is, too, is we live in kind of a time of omnipresent criticism.
Yeah.
Where 10 years, 15, 20 years ago, before the internet age, the average person wouldn't know. They didn't know what a MacGuffin was, or didn't call it a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Or a deus ex machina, or have these kind of traditional literary narrative terms. But for better and for worse, a lot of people can appreciate and understand storytelling on that level now. And it's kind of funny, but when you see that kind of criticism in a work of fantasy, and I'm like, it's a work of
it's complete It's supposed fantasy. To be, yeah, exactly.
It is literally like... dudes in tights in outer space.
Yeah, and it makes the film more enjoyable, so why not just go with it?
No.
But, you're right. People want to tear it apart.
The whole spirit of this movie is going for it.
Yeah.
And it goes for it all the way.
Yep.
And I'm the MCU is 100% better for it.
Yeah.
They needed this injection almost.
Yes, they did.
Because, I mean, the story next up on the docket is... it's the Infinity Stones story, which they were leading to anyway.
Yeah.
And after that, that was always going to be the hard reset.
Yes.
But if there was nothing as joyous and fun along the way, then what was the point of the journey, right? Like, they're just sad stories otherwise for the most part. Acts of heroism, yes, but like...
Well, it really goes to show, too, when you look at their future movies, they're leaning more in this direction of the fantastic. Like, it's kind of like...
it's entertainment.
They're not going to keep it as real. Like, you know, like, the Doctor Strange is called Multiverse of Madness. So that is also going to be a ridiculous movie.
I hope so.
So...
that's a character they really could mine for ridiculousness and madness, right? What else is there to talk about?
We were going to just mention the Easter eggs and the callbacks to the comics. Like her Valkyrie is Scrapper 142.
Yeah.
Because she appeared in Hulk 142. That's when she debuted, so...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's just, like, again, that's a nod to the comics.
I noticed one of the champions and the faces they're building on the wall was Beta Ray Bill.
Beta Ray Bill.
Did you notice
that? And Man-Thing. Yep.
Oh, and Man-Thing.
Man-Thing's there, too, yep.
So
that means that in the MCU, they've been on this planet as champions.
They've acknowledged other Thors, though.
Yeah.
It's cool that they're other Thors.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Thor, I've never been a Thor guy. I've mentioned elsewhere that X-Men is my thing.
Yeah.
But I do know about the other Thors, mm-hmm. like, and of course Thunderstrike too.
Yeah. But
I'm like, oh wow, do you think they'll ever make a Beta Ray Bill movie? I think that's almost something for real heads. You know what I mean? Like, is there an economic viability?
I don't think they'll make a Beta Ray Bill movie.
I can't see it.
Will he be in a Thor movie? Possibly.
Possibly.
He might be in Love and Thunder. Because they're branching out into other Thors.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Jane Foster is going to be a Thor. Like, she's going to get the power.
Yeah.
If they're going to be like, well, other people can be Thor, now's the time to throw him in there, right?
Yeah.
And Beta Ray Bill kind of, I mean, Taika Waititi put him in, you know, kind of in this movie. So it's not like it's not on his radar. So we'll see. And it's not, if it's not in that one, I can see him being in a future one.
Yeah.
Because
that's a beloved character.
Yeah.
I mean, for real Thor heads, they would love to see Beta.
Exactly. And the thing is too, now it's opened up for them. Like, Chris Hemsworth said he doesn't want to make any more Thors until they pitched this idea to him. And he was all for it. And after making this, he's like, I'll keep making Thor movies as long as they want. They're like this.
Until it's time to pass the hammer.
So really, he's like, I mean, really, they probably make another 3 Thor movies. So,
and the
Beta Ray Bill's got to be in one of them.
The logical next step would be at some point to do Beta Ray Bill.
Yeah. So, I can see that.
Which is a movie I want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, Thor's not 100% my thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I loved this take on Thor.
Yeah.
So why not get even weirder?
Yeah, get even weirder.
Get weird with it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Well, it's too bad they talked about the frog thing, so that's already happened, apparently. Where it turns him into the frog.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
Anything else did you notice? Because like I said, this movie is actually kind of light on lore.
It is. I mean...
And callbacks and Easter eggs.
Yeah, there's not a lot of stuff. I mean, really, this movie had it needed to do two things. One, it had to be fun, right?
Yeah.
And sort of tell a light story. But it also had to lead into the very heavy Infinity War Endgame story.
Yeah.
Which it does.
Turn those gears just enough.
Which it does, you know. Well, obviously with the teaser at the end.
Yeah.
But everything's going to work out fine. Also, the great joke
of Hela just with the Infinity Gauntlet, fake.
Yeah, fake. That was. Well, I mean, okay, so that was a callback because people kept saying, like, well, when they showed it in Odin's in the first, I think it was the first Thor, right?
It was the first Thor,
and it was the right-handed gauntlet. They're like, it's already in his vault. How did Thanos get it? And it says left hand.
Yeah.
And so they showed it simply by saying, "Well, that one's fake."
Yeah, they're like fake.
That was very clever to throw that in there.
And she goes smart. By the Tesseract and is like. That's not bad.
There's a lot of little things. I think it's really funny. Like, another
and
big...
of course, there's an Infinity Stone.
And there's a... Yeah, that's so right. There's like, one
that's
actually...
That's not bad.
That's not bad, yeah.
You impressed death.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not good enough for her to actually take it. She's like, well... I guess she probably felt like she had access to it all the time.
Well, to her, Asgard is rightfully hers.
That's true, yeah. She's taken it now.
That's her place.
Yeah.
She's like, this is my house.
Her new home.
So that's my shit.
That's fair.
And plus, she had conquest to do.
Yes.
Because really, at her core, she loves the violence. She's about the killing.
That's so. Right.
She's like, this is not necessarily the glowing orbs and the altering reality.
And she's powerful enough, she doesn't need that stuff.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, she could have used the Time Stone to travel to those other realms she wanted to conquer. She was trying to get to the.
Oh,
she was trying to get the bridge. She was trying to get the sword to use the bridge.
It's kind of funny, but it's necessary for plot action. Who's somebody who's omnipotent is still really materially bound.
Yeah,
that she can't just chase people. When she gets to get anywhere, she has to walk.
Yeah, that's true. She's not flying around.
You know, she's not flying around. She's like, oh, they're in that church. That's fucking far. I gotta walk there.
Yeah.
But anything else? In this movie? In terms of the Easter eggs? That you know of?
Not really. I mean, there's
it's
the thing.
Your forte.
There's the Stan Lee cameo.
Oh, tradition, of course.
One of his last few.
One of my
few,
favorites, actually.
And so good as the guy cutting the hair.
Yeah, one of my absolute favorites.
He's really funny. My hands aren't as steady as they used to be. And he cuts Thor's hair. Actually, do you know why they cut Thor's hair? That's the other thing is people are like, why would they do that? Like, he's known for his long blonde hair.
Why?
Because Chris Hemsworth was sick of wearing the wig.
That was going to be my guess.
Honestly, they were filming in the Australian desert, and it was hot, and they were like, he was like, I don't want to wear this stupid wig anymore. If I'm making Thor movies, we've got to get rid of it. So they were like, okay, we'll cut your hair short. And it kind of goes because, you know, ancient gladiators always had their hair cut short because it would get in the way. So it
But also, fits. Certain tribes of warriors, they grow their hair long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real dishonor to have
Thor is known for his long blonde hair, like even in the comics. So, of course he is. So it was a real point, but it was funny, you know, throw Stan Lee in there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, don't cut my hair. You know, I'm the god of thunder. And then he keeps coming. He's like, please don't cut my hair.
Which he's like begging. It also reminds me is that we actually haven't touched upon it either. Is I don't know, because we've already talked about the music and, I mean, the obvious movie influences of this film. But the other one that we actually haven't talked about is Willy Wonka.
Oh, yeah.
Because the World of Imagination song is actually playing as he sits in the chair, which is, it's almost like he's entering the world of Sakaar, this other world.
That's true. And where things are slightly different.
And it felt almost like a Disney ride where you're strapped in and there's these crazy things that happen. There's even the time where the Grand Master's introduced. I'm like, that could be in the world of tomorrow. It almost looks like, right? And I feel like that was, not necessarily Disney, but it was meant to have that kind of feel.
Yes. Yeah.
Whole segue into another world or whatever.
Yeah. Right? Which is also played for humor, too, because when it cuts, it turns out he's just sitting in the middle of a room with everybody.
Screaming his head off.
Screaming his head, because he's terrified of all the stuff around him, but it's all just kind of being...
It builds up in his mind.
In his mind,
He's like, you're meeting the Grand Master, and it turns out the Grand Master is Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then even when he's like, I want to look closer, they literally just push his chair closer. Like, it's not like...
I don't need the melty stick.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this movie is great.
It's so quotable.
It's the most quotable, of all the Marvel movies. Yeah, and again, that going back to that's a lot on the actors because it was a lot improvised. So it's a wonder that their Men in Black movie wasn't better. I guess
given that you have the same,
I honestly feel like that's the reason they put those two in there. They're like, well, look how funny they were. So let's take Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth and plop them into the Men in Black and fail miserably.
Well, I think it goes to show that it's not necessarily important to have a precision in terms of the dialogue.
Yeah.
But the bedrock has to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and who knows if they gave them as much freedom on that movie. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, a script can be... I mean, we've talked about this before.
Yep.
Is you can't rebound from a bad script.
No.
You can save a movie so many ways, but if the script is, I mean, I think I first got this idea from Siskel and Ebert. Now, you can't rebound from a bad script. There's just no coming back from it. It doesn't matter how bare bones.
Yeah.
You just need to have a cohesive vision, and that all needs to be in place. And
that's
the other word that really jumps out to me when I think about this film is how cohesive the vision is.
Oh, yeah.
They had a clear idea of exactly the things they wanted to achieve with this movie.
Yep.
And they... I can't, there are no ways in it. I don't think it ever does not achieve its ambitions.
Yeah. No, I can't find anything in
the
this
look,
movie.
The feel, the humor.
They accomplished all of it.
Even the gravitas.
Yep.
It's, I think in the long run, this will probably, I won't say it's my favorite, but I will say it's the one I will watch the most. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
The Marvel movie I will watch. I'm like, well, if I have my choice to watch all of them, this is probably going to be the one I want to watch.
Well, and that's why I said it was my favorite for sure. If I could only pick one Marvel movie to rewatch ever again, I would have to be able to see Ragnarok again. I can't imagine.
But it's funny to think about it that way because it's almost like, I don't know, for a Star Wars comparison, the Rogue One.
Yeah, but
Marvel movies.
But that's kind of it, though. It stands alone on its own as well.
Yeah,
you can watch this movie on its own and doesn't have to tie into the other movies.
And it tells you a lot of the things that you need to know about the characters that are involved.
It does. They're very good at that.
Yeah. Like, even because we got it on right now, is the Hulk is about to turn back into Banner, but he does so because he's Black Widow.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and it's... And you get, like, everything that you... You wouldn't even have to have seen the other Avengers movies.
No, they
you know,
explain
the calming it. The influence that she has on Bruce.
Yeah, because he tries it. He keeps saying, the sun's going down, the sun's going down.
Yeah, and it doesn't
work. He's like, why do you keep saying that to me? Stop
saying that to me. Didn't even talk about it before, but Mark Ruffalo is also excellent.
He is excellent in this. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. We talked about Hulk. Well, he voiced the Hulk in this for the first time.
Yes.
He was both versions.
Well,
so.
It's because the Hulk actually finally has some real dialogue.
That's true. But yeah, you're as Bruce Banner, like, he was amazing at this.
Amazing.
Oh, you don't want me. You just want the Hulk. You're using me to get to the Hulk. That's gross.
That's gross. Oh, you're not a good friend.
You're not even... Yeah.
Like, the 80% of the dialogue is just astounding.
Yes.
Because everyone is note perfect.
Well, like, again, going back to the improvise, you can tell, like, when he comes and she's like, when Valkyrie wants to be part of the team and she's like, okay, is there a team name? And Thor's like, like, obviously Revenger. Like, he's making it up. He's
Revengers. Revenge.
You're getting revenge.
You're all getting revenge.
And you, do you want revenge? And he's like, I'm undecided. Like, you can tell that's improvised. There's no way that was written, but it's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm undecided.
I'm undecided. No, it's funny because he doesn't really have to do any heavy lifting, but Mark Ruffalo is also perfect.
Yes. And he's pulling at his pants. Tony wears his pants really tight.
He wears his pants really tight. And he seems more interested in, like, he's like, I want to get to know Valkyrie.
Yes.
Than with anything else that seems.
Yeah, well, they have that connection. They don't even know why, but they have that connection.
That's true.
Right?
He's like, I also am kind of this, I got this thing going on. I don't like to talk about it, you know, but it's my, I call it my little green problem.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. Because, like, Hulk and Valkyrie are buddies. Like, they're close.
Well, exactly.
They train together. They hang out.
That's probably the closest he's had as the Hulk to a real friend.
Yeah.
Which is something weird to think about because he's been the Hulk for 2 years.
Yeah.
And presumably that he's been training with Valkyrie. Not maybe the whole time, but...
probably because she found him.
She found him.
Yeah, so...
Right? And he's like... Because even as the Hulk, it's weird to think of him needing human connection and having friends.
Yeah.
But he does, and there's this vulnerability to the Hulk in this movie that's just kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
And he's like, even Thor, when he goes to leave, he's like, you can't leave.
Yeah.
He's like, my friends, he treats him like a dick, because he's the Hulk.
Because he's the Hulk still.
Yeah.
Oh, Thor, stay!
Yeah, Thor, stay! Well, the other thing is, too, is that's a legitimate challenge to the Hulk, and he's probably never had that before.
That's true, too, yeah.
And he's just, let's be real, in the 2 years that he's been there, it's probably been like, I mean, the Grandmaster was, like, taken aback the fact that Thor was actually
It
was a real challenge.
Yeah.
That was a shock.
Well, Korg says anyone who fights the champion dies. Yeah, he's like, Doug fought him.
Yeah.
Oh, Doug's dead.
Good luck, new Doug.
Just like everyone else who fights the champion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he calls him New Doug.
New Doug.
Yeah. Hey, New Doug.
Yeah. Another day, another Doug.
Another day, another Doug.
But yeah.
How about this pointy wooden stick? It would only be good against vampires that are all huddled together.
Well, I meant, and the, yeah, which may be a reference to what we do in the shadows. But anyways.
I think it might be.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good point.
Three vampires. But anyways.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's right.
But.
That are all huddled close together.
That are all. Exactly.
You just went real deep with it, Mike Mandel.
Real deep.
I never even put that two and two together, but well done.
I'd like to point out at this point in this gap that we're now drinking the Galactic Viking IPA.
Yeah, we changed it up to Galactic Viking.
Yeah, the Five Roads. So.
So now we've got our full Viking beer on.
Yep.
Actually, we might as well talk about some of the narrative things because we haven't talked a lot about them and some of the decisions they made. I know the original decision for them to put, because Odin had to be off the board.
Yes.
And when this movie started, and the idea was for him to actually be in that old folks home.
Yes.
And I think they've referred to that in other movies, is what Odin did with, or what Loki did with Odin.
Yeah.
But Taika Waititi was like, that's depressing.
Yeah, like that's not the way to end.
Like, Odin shouldn't die in some old folks home.
Yeah.
He's like, Norway, you know, where the Norse gods come from.
Well, they're going to make new Asgard there.
Yeah, that only makes sense, right? Yeah. The thing comes full circle. Like, our human, that they're Norse gods, like, they're going to move to Norway. Well, they, spoiler alert, they don't.
Yeah.
Things kind of...
Well, they do. They form new Asgard in Norway.
Wait, well...
In Endgame, that's where they are.
They're not en route to, and that, because that's when they get picked up by Thanos' ship.
Yeah, but he doesn't kill all of them. He only kills half of them.
Oh, that's right.
So they make it there. In Endgame, that's where they've settled. Half the people. And Thor's playing video games with Korg.
That's right. And all that's going on.
Yeah. Of course, right? Yeah, they end up there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. No, that's right. Okay. Because I'm like, in my mind, Thanos killed everybody. I'm like, no, he only killed half the people.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that in Endgame they kind of took a sec, because Thor has had an incredibly shitty few years.
Yeah.
Right? And they kind of acknowledge it. And they're like, well, he went through all this crazy stuff, because his journey was weirdly maybe the toughest. Tougher than Tony's, in a way.
Yeah. Well, he talks about that.
Yeah.
He's like, well, my father died and I lost my hammer.
I had to kill my sister. Yeah. Half my people are dead.
Yeah.
I am responsible in a way for destroying. I lost my eye. They joke about it a little, but like for the first time, you kind of see a vulnerability to Thor, and it's kind of, you kind of get it. And a big part of the reason why it makes sense is because he gives up so much in this movie.
Yes.
He has to suffer a lot.
Yeah.
Like even his relationship with Loki is a big deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge. And I think it's part of his journey in this movie for him to finally say to himself, he's like, I'm kind of over my brother and his antics.
Yeah.
Because even though...
Well, he tells him to stay in Sakaar. He's like, you'll do great here, and I'll never see you again.
Yeah. I mean, I talked before about how from Loki's side, that was probably hard for him to hear.
Yeah.
But like Thor was kind of like, no, I've made my peace with it, right? Like,
yeah.
That's kind of... Even a god, that chips away at you.
Yeah, well, Loki set out to tell... He thought he was going to have to convince Thor.
Yeah.
He thought Thor was going to be like, no, you're coming with me. And he was like, I think I'm better here. And when Thor said it, he's like,
you are. It's flawless. You can cause trouble here.
Yeah.
You already are.
And gone. I won't be in your hair.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take off. Who's going to thwart your plans?
Yeah.
But it's very much, it reminded me a lot of, even though I'm not exactly the DC expert, a Batman-Joker relationship.
Right.
Of these two opposites that kind of need each other.
Yeah.
Thor needs hero shit to do, and, like, Loki needs trouble to cause.
That's right.
Right? Like, it's very similar.
Yep.
I might be simplifying things, but that's kind of...
No, I mean, that's kind of how it is.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is. What else is there to say about Ragnarok?
I think we've covered most of it.
I think so.
I don't think there's a lot more to say.
I mean,
the
fantastic performances. I will say this. Time for closing thoughts?
Sure. Yep.
Here's my closing thought. If you're going to watch a Marvel movie, this is the one to watch.
I think this is the one to start on if you haven't been watching them.
Yeah?
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because you don't need a point of entry.
No. They explain all the little details along the way, so you actually don't feel lost.
Yeah.
They do a really good job, because some of them don't do a good job of that. You have to have watched the previous movies.
Yes.
This one, I noticed, they do a very good job of actually pointing those things out. They take the time to be like, oh, this is why, like I said, this is why Hulk's turning back into Banner. Yep. This is why it's a struggle. Like, Banner talks about it. They make a very specific point about all their little history things, why they are. They catch up to speed.
Yep.
And you can just watch it and enjoy it.
The relationship between Hulk and Thor, which is such a huge part of this movie, already feels very lived in.
Yep. Well, and that's...
Even between Hulk and Loki.
Yes.
It almost explains some of the jokes in a nice wink to the other
movies. It does, yeah.
What are your final thoughts on
That's exactly my final thought. Like I said, we watched this last night with a friend who hasn't seen like any Marvel movies, and she loved it.
Yeah.
She enjoyed it. And again, this is the movie to watch if you don't watch Marvel movies. And hopefully it gets you into the other ones.
But it's the least, maybe because it's the least like any other
movie. I feel like it stands on its own.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the other ones, you kind of need to... If you're going to watch one, you need to watch the other one, because they make each other better.
Yes.
Whereas this one stands on its own as a great movie by itself. It doesn't need to blend.
But it's still part of the same nebula.
It's part of it, so it definitely flows. But again, if you're going to watch one, this is the one.
Yeah, I said earlier, they really went for it. And
nailed.
And they hit every note. Yeah, no, they nailed it. Yeah. We always talk about stuff that we love on this show. Ragnarok it's a recommend if you've never seen it.
Yeah.
Even if this kind of movie is not your
thing. If the Marvel movies aren't your thing, this will still be a movie you will enjoy.
You might enjoy it for other reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's all we have to say about Ragnarok. So on that note, make sure to hit us up on Instagram at beers.banter. No, beers.n.banter.mc.
You're getting better at that.
And
it's not easy.
Let's throw some stuff in the comments. We'll read it. We may answer to it. We may not. But
we'll see.
Who knows? On that note, party on, Colin.
Party on, Mike. I don't like to talk about it, you know, but it's my, I call it my little green problem.
Yeah.
You know?